And now, streaming out of Northeast Ohio, representing Marks, Drunks, and a little bit of kayfabe, AIW Fan Club. It's wrestling and podcasting, previewing and reviewing all motherfucking day. People of the world, I give to you wrestling fucking cheers.
Taking your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna go where you can see that troubles are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, especially when we change locations. This is Wrestling Cheers. We like to talk about things going on in the Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene. We preview shows, we review shows, and sometimes we even have interviews along the way. This is a preview for AIW's Jet Black New Year. I'm your host, Justin Summers, and Wrestling Cheers is brought to you by Midwest Territory. Please rate, review, and subscribe your ever listen to fine podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, facebook.com/wrestlingcheers, twitter.com/wrestlingcheers, instagram.com/wrestlingcheers. Email, if you so choose to desire, wrestlingcheers@gmail.com. Like I said, this is a preview for AIW's Jet Black New Year, which has changed venues in the last week, or at least in between recordings. And yeah, you got myself, Justin, and we also have Charlie Butters.
Hey, I'll be on my best behavior, I promise.
It's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, you know, we take some time away and do some things and stuff, and here we are.
I think the last time you were on was when we reviewed the Halloween show.
Was it that long ago?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because we talked about Texas.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So yeah, like it's been a while, but I mean, you've talked about AIW since then, so
yeah.
When you told me that there was like backlash from you reviewing Hell on Earth, I was like, did I have you on to review Hell on Earth? And I was like, no, that was Pam. I think it was Pam.
It wasn't really backlash. Like we just, there was some DM sent. Let's put it that way. And some discussions had. It's all good now though.
There's never any backlash after podcast. It's, you know, like
no.
Things get said and like people forget about it. Right. I just figured that's what happens. It's not like people have gotten fired for like shit that they've said on podcast or canceled. Joe Rogan,
Kanye.
I'm sad. I'm sad.
E24 wear. Have you seen what his new clothing line?
I'm sad to hear that, you know, Kanye West passed away after like his fourth album or fifth album, and you know, we haven't really heard from him ever since. So yeah,
so you can make Kanye 2006 again.
I mean, he's passed away, so like I've actually thought about I want to buy or rebuy some of his albums, like all the way up to like what, Twisted Dark Fantasy or whatever. I have some of them, but like what I'm going to do is like I'm going to take all his music that I have off of streaming, except for there is a song that he did with Paul McCartney where he talks about his mom visiting him in his dreams as an angel. It helped me get over, or helped me through. I shouldn't say it didn't help me get over, but helped me through my mom's death. And I really do enjoy that one. But other than that song, everything past his fifth album, like I don't really care for. I know I have the College Dropout on CD. I have Late Registration on CD. I have Graduate on CD. I need 808s. And like I said, Twisted Dark Fantasy, I think it's called. Or there's like maybe a fourth word in there that I'm forgetting. Maybe I get some of them on vinyl, but after that, like, I'm just...
I could probably get them pretty cheap right now. A lot of people are getting rid of them.
That is true. I do at least want 808s on vinyl, because I enjoyed that album. That came out like the perfect time in my life where like I needed it.
Solid album.
Yeah, so I remember when that came out, people hated it. And I was like, you know what? this fits my life right now, so I really enjoy it. One thing I don't like about it is that live track at the end, like Pinocchio or whatever, like, it's weird. But yeah, other than that, like, I don't, yeah, fuck Kanye. But I'll delete all of his shit that I have off my phone, so like, he won't really be receiving money off from me. And if I buy stuff, I'll just try to buy it used. Anyway.
Speaking of people we don't receive money from. AIW, what is up?
Well, AIW still gets our money.
Yeah, they get our money. We don't get money from them. We get a lot of entertainment from them.
Well, we got to talk about the venue change. Last week, I interviewed Shaw Mason, and then in between recording and the episode coming out, I want to say it was the day before the episode came out, it was announced that AIW would not be back at the Odeon. They had to look for a new venue, and then it was Tadmore Shrine for the show. I'm a little sad, only because like we didn't get to have that like final show. I've been to the last show for Turner's, like, and that was like, hey, this is our last show at Turner's. I was at the last show for Mount Carmel, which was like, hey, this is the last show for Mount Carmel. I felt the same way going into this one, but changing the venue, it's like, oh, like J-Lit was the last show we had there, and we didn't get to like treat it as like, well, this is the last show we're gonna have at the Odeon. So I don't want to say upset. I'm like, I'm a little sad about that, but big picture, well, also a little sad because it's an easier drive for me from work, but like not paying for parking, not having to go around that block five times to try to find a parking spot, having to pay for parking now through an app. I'm not going to miss that. Not going to miss that at all. I do think the Odeon is the best like arena type setting that AIW's ever had. Like, the lighting, the mood and all that, the merch area, I think I've always said is just not enough room. So that shit always sucked. But aesthetically, visually, it's just top notch. And I don't think any place AIW goes is going to top that, sadly.
So I was delighted by this news. I never really cared for the Odeon. Personally, I think that, you know, you kind of said you didn't get like one last go in there, unless you're going to set the thing on fire or do some like vandalism. I don't think it really matters as a person or as a fan. The last time I see a show there, but like as a performer, I could see them caring because, like, you know, some people had their debut match there kind of thing. But for me, I could care less about that place. I hated having to pay for parking. I hated, you know, the small area for the bathroom and for everything else. And why was everything always wet in the bathroom after like just 2 minutes of it being open? It was just, everything was wet, and that I don't understand how everything got wet. It made no sense.
Well, hold on. On that, it's a public restroom, and that's how like so many public restrooms are. Like, granted, a little different. Like, being in as many truck stop bathrooms as I've been in, like, there's ones that, like, granted, like, there's people there to literally bathe in the sink. But
I just want to understand how, like, as a wrestling fan, like, you go in there and you just, like, it's like there was a wet dog in there. It's just like you shook off like several wet dogs in that bathroom at once, like, within like 20 minutes of it being available to use. And it dumbfounded me every time.
I think there's something you're not considering, that people were leaving their calling card because they are the wet bandits.
I mean, I would take a blowtorch to their heads if I had the chance.
Nail through their foot.
I would like to throw bricks at them from the top of the Odeon and put them standing on the street.
Put a tarantula on their face.
Yes. So, I mean, I honestly, thankfully, never had to take a shit there.
Same.
I know certain people that have, and they are definitely worse off for it. I didn't care for, you know, I don't drink. Bar there didn't do anything for me. I liked that you could get like a glass of water for $1 instead of a bottle of water for $2. Except for when the last time we were there, the water literally tasted like plastic and like, I don't know what the hell it was. And they ended up giving me bottled water for free. I was happy that the last match there was the triple threat, and Derek winning the title. That's a cool way to go out. Yeah. I couldn't land it any better. And I love, love, love the Tadmor Shrine. It is my favorite place to watch wrestling at. And any chance I get to see wrestling there, so fucking great. And I instantly was like, yeah, that's the much better option. That's perfect for me. And I will, because I was really not sure if I was going to go to the show. And once I got moved to the Shrine, I'm like, for sure I'm going. And I made Jayhawk come too. So he's coming with us.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm not sure how many times I've ever had to take a shit at a wrestling show. I feel like it's only been once. And I think it was the one J-Lit weekend where they shot the beginning of Powerbomb. Because I was there for like over 12 hours. We're talking like, I feel like close to 20, maybe a little less. But yeah, being there long enough, like, gotta take a shit at some point. But other than that, pee, yes. Shit, no. So I could only imagine having to shit at the Odeon.
That's a rough time right there.
But I mean, I like the Tadmor Shrine because it is closer to my house. But I mentioned on Twitter when it was announced that my drive to the show just got longer, but my drive home just got shorter because I'll be coming from work on Friday. So I'll be going from Strongsville to Akron, but I'm only going to go from Akron to Cuyahoga Falls for afterwards. So that should be a real good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of super easy drive homes part of this year, so I'm excited about Kent's an easy one. Akron's an easy one. Town next month is an easy one, so, or next month in February.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Kent one. I'm always looking forward to the Kent one. I'm interested of how that's going to be set up on the inside. I was just at a concert there back in November. It was actually before the show was announced, but I was tipped off that it was going to be there. And the Outpost actually has like had a calendar on their wall, like this really big one of like when all the shows were, and on that particular day it just said wrestling, and I was like, fuck yeah. But how that venue is like set up in the stage, like I'm trying to just figure out, like, you know, I roughly know where the ring's going to be, but I don't know, like, are people going to be sitting on the stage where, like, of the actual, like, concert part? Or, like, will that be the entrance? I'm interested to see how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
Like, we saw how the outdoor one was. Hopefully, if there are some outdoor ones this year, like, they are better attended. But obviously, with, like, that schedule that AIW did in the summer, like, really killed it. Like, killed it for fans. So yeah,
I tapped pretty early in that one, and I knew, like, as everything got announced, it was like every other day another. Yeah, I'm just not doing this. Like, I can't do this.
Well, in February we already got two shows back to back, like back to back weeks.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I'm just a GA boy now, so just kind of take it as it goes.
When do you move to Georgia?
you know, Dalton hooked me up with a trailer in his trailer park.
Single or double wide?
It's double wide. I wouldn't go single.
You know they make triple wides, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that crazy either. I don't want to show off the not in the trailer park. That's neat. You get all the crazy ones trying to break in.
We actually had like a triple wide in my trailer park, and I remember that like blew our mind. Not in a hillbilly sense, but it was just like triple wide. What the fuck?
At what point does it just become a house with no basement?
I was like, well, is there like axles underneath it? Can you have skirting around it? I mean, you could put a trailer in the middle of a field, still a trailer. But on to Jet Black New Year. Do you know what this is a reference to? Because I do not fucking know. I have yet to like Google it.
I felt like I did, but I probably am way off base.
Someone might let us know, but yeah, I'm not 100% sure exactly what it means, but I do know that the show The Day at Toy High, I know that's am I blanking on the name of that movie? The dude, what the fuck's that movie called?
Big Lebowski.
Thank you. Blanked on it.
So according to Google, this is definitely a song by the Thursday, that at some point had Gerard Way do a cover with them. It's been called an emo night.
And that is why I do not know the reference.
I mean, it could just be a coincidence, but that's literally the everything that comes up. Jet Black New Year, Song by Thursday. And then it's like, that's the vast majority of everything on here.
I mean, the poster and the graphics and everything for it have kind of a emo pop punk vibe to it. So, I mean, yeah, that makes total sense. Like, once you said that, I was like, oh, that's why I don't know it. I mean, obviously, you pick, it's the day before New Year's Eve, so you go with, a New Year's theme. So, yeah, like, I can understand. But, yeah, that's also why I had no idea what the fucking reference was. But
yeah, I guess that's what we're going with.
Before that Youngstown show, I might actually sit down and finally watch The Big Lebowski, because I have never seen The Big Lebowski.
Oh, man. You got to watch that, but you also need to watch the TV edited version, because there's a lot of great jokes with that, like with the edits.
Well, I'll watch the regular version first. Is it kind of like Half-Baked, where, give me a box of condoms and that shit we used to back in the day. What was it called? Oh, yeah. Puddin'.
Yeah, there's some really great ones that are to the edits of that, like... Instead of fucking a stranger in the Alps, there's finding a stranger in the Alps, and a couple others like that. It's really, really great. Now, John Goodman is really good in that movie. He is he's definitely my favorite character in that movie.
Before moving in with Amanda, my roommate that I had for 2.5-3 years, Big Lebowski was his favorite movie, to the point of his Xbox gamer tag was The Dude Abides. And I knew that was a reference to the movie, but I need to sit down and watch that. That's probably my top movie of when I tell people I haven't seen, it's oh my God, you haven't seen that movie? No, it's been on my list forever. But now I feel since AIW is doing a show named after, it's like, yeah, I definitely need to sit down and watch that. But I think the main thing about that weekend that I'm looking forward to is Toyohio. And I'm actually looking forward to the meet and greet with Danhausen and his wife.
Oh, I figured your wife would be very excited about that.
Oh, I when that was announced, I was recording, can't remember what episode, and I texted to her, and she responded oh my God. And I was like, well, you're going to be excited for that one. I might do, I was debating us doing a group picture, the four of us. I think it'd be a good one.
Right on. Yeah, so, that'd be great.
I think that's really cool, and it needs to be noted. That's Danhausen breaking the record. That's 5 Toyohios in a row.
He's just creating the record at this point. There was no record to break before. He's creating this record.
Danhausen
record at this point.
I think he broke it, because I think before this it was the most appearances was Brian Myers, I thought.
I don't think so. I don't think he's been there twice. But Danhausen's been there 4 or 5 times. So Danhausen's been there, was there more times than Brian Myers had been there before Brian Myers had been there.
Brian Myers has been there, I think, 3 times. Because you remember he had solo.
He was only there twice.
He had solo, group, and I thought he did another solo one. I'd have to look at things. But Danhausen, even if, let's say he did have 4 appearances, Danhausen will have 5, and now it's also 5 in a row. He hasn't missed one, and he was on all the ones last year, on top of the one in October from 2021, and now this. And he's still going to probably have a huge line.
Oh, for sure, especially now that his wife's coming. I was looking at a copy of the one comic book that she was on the cover of to get signed.
We were kind of wondering what merch she was going to have. I didn't know if she was going to have any of her DVDs there, because there's some of her burlesque stuff, I guess, is on DVD. We already have 8x10s of her, so that's not a huge worry. There probably won't be the one of her topless. I'm guessing
from Toyohio, Myers has been there 3 times.
Okay, that's what I thought. I said 4 later, just to say, for example, even if Danhausen is going to crush it. But yeah, I thought it was single, group 1, and then another single. I don't know. They all blur together now, so I just remember Danhausen at all these. All right, let's start to review, or not preview, preview this show. And we're starting with this one, which kind of has a good transition. Sam Holloway versus Jocelyn Navarro versus Swoggle, who's also been at Toy Hio a number of times. Or maybe Swoggle's the one that has had the most appearances. Anyway, off topic. I'll have to look that up later. Or you will.
It goes Dan Housen, Ethan Page, then Myers.
Okay. Versus Uncle Chase Burnett versus Austin James versus Chase Oliver. I was going to say, I thought this was the first like big show debut of Uncle Chase, but no, he did have like, I believe one Odeon appearance.
Yeah. He was in that match with Bandido.
Yeah.
So he took the 21-plex. Dude, Sam Holloway, man. Like when he finally gets his footing, everybody needs to watch out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said about a lot of the students. Like you just watch a lot of them grow from, you know, their first match to a year or two later, and like a lot of them like find their momentum, find their place, and find everything. And I feel like we're gonna get that with Holloway, easily like one of my favorite students, like Tim and Shaw.
He definitely showed signs in the Hell on Earth scramble, hitting choke slams, and just he looked fucking brutal when he was just wrecking everybody. Really put my attention onto him more. Like I said, he reminds me awesome, and I've been floating him ideas of things, both on Twitter and elsewhere, and getting into his head about things is probably not a good thing, but you know, just things I think would be cool, you know. Maybe Riley Rose gets powerbombed off the top rope to the outside through a table, and you know, stuff like that. Could you imagine Swoggle getting chokeslammed by him?
Oh, I think I thought about that when this was announced. I'm like, oh man, imagine like Holloway chokeslam and Swoggle. That's like gonna be a long way down for Swoggle. But then again,
Swoggle is tied with Myers as well, by the way, on that three.
Okay. Gotcha. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, could you imagine Jocelyn getting put up for a choke slam? I mean, it's
imagine Jocelyn choke slamming Sam Holloway. There, I fucking said it.
That's adorable. Bet it won't happen. I actually want that to happen. That'd be really cool. So happen, that'd be great.
Say she choke slams everybody, and then she gets to him, and Nike's last.
Yeah.
But you know what Sam Holloway needs?
Not a mask, because I've already had that discussion.
Oh no, not a mullet,
and not and to get to ditch the singlet.
I was gonna say it's a little bit with the mullet, but not necessarily a mullet. I kind of think he needs facial hair. Babyface Sam, I don't know. Like,
if he's gonna be a face, yes. If he's gonna be a bad guy, then yes.
What, beards equal bad guys?
Yes.
Uncle Chase Burnett's a bad guy?
Yes.
Swoggle's a bad guy?
I'm a bad guy.
Duh.
No, I just think that, you know, he's a baby face and he has a baby face, and it's just, that's what it is. I don't know. Like, whatever he wants to do. I just like, I have like some aesthetic things. Like I said, like ditch the yes, you know, go down to Trunks. I think I think his look is fine in Trunks. Like, not sure why he's hiding his like barrel stomach. Like, you need to be a gladiator and have a barrel stomach. It doesn't have to be like an 8-pack or anything. And you know, he's got that pretty hair. Let it grow out, you know, get that hillbilly waterfall, and start putting people through some tables, man. Let's or some doors. Let's get crazy. So let's see what you can do.
Speaking of pretty 8-pack and beautiful hair, you know, Chase Oliver's also in this match.
He is, and he is the scramble god. So, but he did not win at Hell on Earth. He did not prove his scramble godness at Hell on Earth. He did not win that scramble. So, might have to start questioning his godhood.
Well, he's the scramble god, but he's turning into the producer god.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing that like I kind of want to do, like, hearing them talk about all the production side of stuff. Like, I don't want to wrestle, but like, I would love to be able to get into the production of like editing and doing stuff for like wrestling shows. I think that'd be really cool. Like, that's something I've always liked. Even when like mid Ohio or mid, when we did Midwest and like I got to film and do all that kind of stuff. Like I want to do something like that. So like maybe they need to have a course for that and I'll pay to go to school to learn to do that and get to do that for AIW. That'd be cool.
Think if we can call up, Alvarado.
I don't think he's doing anything in North Carolina. I know he got married. He's doing anything wrestling wise.
Yeah, but he kind of like disappeared out of nowhere.
He does that.
There was that weird moment where he like popped back up with like this different kind of gimmick. And he was,
kind of like the Aztec warrior type gimmick.
Yeah. And he went to Dayton to train. And I'm like, oh, you're back in Ohio wrestling.
Yeah. With,
we're not talking about it. We're not talking about where. We're just saying Dayton.
Southern Ohio.
Yeah. Not anywhere around here.
No, but yeah, I don't know. He's always been all over the place. So
we also have Austin James here, like you mentioned. He did pick up a win, which I think surprised a lot of people because we were expecting. Oh, Chase is in the match, so
right,
Chase is gonna win. Like he's killed a lot of these scrambles.
So we talked about this off the air, and it's not so much a complaint. Or anything like that. I've always felt like if you win a scramble, then like that should like move you on. But like being back into another one is kind of interesting. So I'm curious how it's going to play out for him. Like he won that one. Can he do another? If he can't, I mean, like, I'm curious what the system is there to like get moved around on the card. I'm just curious. Like it's interesting.
For every, three scramble wins you get to move on to like a different match.
Yeah. Like maybe then you form a tag team or maybe then you get a single, against somebody. That'd be cool. Make it mean something.
I'm actually happy we got Swoggle at the show. I really like Swoggle. Like
Swoggle's a nice guy. As a wrestling fan, like it's whatever, like he'll be entertaining. I'm sure like that match will be very entertaining, but
for those who don't know, he has... Okay, Dexter, get off the fucking soundboard.
That wasn't me this time.
He decided to lay on again. He does this. Like,
it's because he wants your attention.
Yeah, lays on it, and then sometimes if I move the mouse, he'll actually follow it on the screen. But Dexter, seriously, you got to get up because you're going to hit that fucking record button, and I'm going to get really pissed. Anyway, for those who don't know, Swoggle has a podcast on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Patreon. The reason why I mention that is because it's actually about to move to a public feed. So if you like Swoggle, I recommend giving it a listen. He has people within the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Patreon group like help pick topics. And a lot of times the guy who does the show with him, George Feast, is the one who like he'll post like three options, and there's some like really good episodes. Some of it like talks about like his life. He did a whole episode on his son Landon, which actually mm-hmm. this show will be his birthday, and I'm pretty sure he might be there.
Well, I'm sure. Hopefully,
yeah. Really interesting listen. Like you don't have to be a fan of the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast or Cardona or any of them like to like the show. I think if you like Swoggle and like some of his conversations, like if you liked him being interviewed on this show, which I did receive a lot of compliments for, I highly suggest like checking that out when it goes to a public feed. Like there'll probably be ads and everything in it, but nonetheless, like it's a really good show where Swoggle gets to like just flat out be himself, talk about whatever. Like he actually did one where he talked about his appearance on that, where he did his boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about everything about that. Like it's a really good show, but
that sounds interesting. Might have to check that out since I'm lacking on shows to listen to. But yeah, like your episode that you did with him was really fun too. And then like getting to reference that at Toyhio was really was nice and like a way to like kind of break the ice to bullshit with him a little bit and like not just be like, oh hi, whatever, but like I know about you, like, cool. So it's cool.
He has a lot more like stuff like that of where he'll like rant about. I can't remember a lot of them off the top of my head. I mean, obviously the grilled cheese is a big one. I think he's someone that calls a bagel a bagel.
Oh, okay.
Which is really weird.
Are we doing picks at the end? Or are we doing them with this?
We'll do them with this.
Okay, I was curious.
That's a great way to transition. My bad. who do you got winning this one?
Like, okay. We've been on this scramble for like 20 minutes. Because we like went off in seven directions. That's what happens when we don't podcast for like months at a time together. Yeah. Then you get stuff like this.
And I did realize Dexter did hit the stop record button. Little shit. I just looked down and the button's green. I mean, luckily I got another recording going, but still, like, because he doesn't just lay on part of it. Like, he literally puts like his whole body down on like the sliders.
Yeah, it's gotta be warm. It must put off enough heat that he likes to lay on it. I guess the screen puts off a little bit of heat, but.
Oh, it's funny when he walks across and all of a sudden, like, he hits a button.
It's like a cat on a piano. Jumping around.
Well, that's when he goes across the soundboard. Yeah, just a bunch of shit. Anyway, who do you got on this one?
Ooh, man, I'm just going to go with Sam Holloway. I'm just going to put all my chips in that bucket, I think. Why not?
You're going to go against Chase Oliver?
Hey, he lost the last scramble. He's not the his godhood is in question. We'll see what happens here.
You're gonna go.
This is this one.
You're gonna go against Austin James.
Yeah, I don't like softball. At least and I'll give him props because he doesn't have the super long entrance, so it's really so he's all right in my book now. And he did that really cool moonsault. So
yeah, I don't know how you could go against Chase Oliver in this match, but I'm picking Jocelyn Navarro.
Yeah, that's what I thought, motherfucker.
I wanted a good swerve there, but yeah, I gotta pick Jocelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what's gonna happen? Like, she's gonna win this match, and then she's gonna challenge the winner of the absolute title match. And then either way, I'm gonna be entertained.
I thought you were going to say the intense title match, and then it was going to be, you know, her and Derek or her and Kaplan. And I'm like, oh my God, could you imagine?
No, I'm going with, because of the combination of like her versus Broner, her versus Bishop. Right, like,
right. I got you. I still think any of those four guys against her would be a fucking crazy match. So
Kaplan might be the underrated pick. Like, I think if you were to pick options, like Kaplan would be in last place, but like, it's still like a good option.
Just think of Kaplan's like serial killer style promo and then throwing his fucking Kaplan bombs at her, like the punches. Fuck. Oh, it'd be gross, but it would be epic at the same time. Like, Jocelyn's the kind that would take it and just fucking give it right back, and it'd be so good. It'd be very, very entertaining. Just saying.
All right, let's move on to the next one. We got a rematch from Wrestle Rager, Shaw Mason versus Filthy Tom Lawler. And first time around, Filthy, if I'm correct, Filthy won.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch Rager. I'm a bad boy. So like, this is a whole new match to me.
Oh, so you got nothing to complain about?
No, not a thing.
One thing about Shaw is like, it does seem like we're getting a lot of rematches with him.
I think you have that really great, three match thing with Cisco. I think my only complaint of that was that I wanted the third match to be like a 2 out of 3 falls or something, but I know we just had one recently with Jocelyn and Katie Arquette, so I kind of figure that's why we didn't get something special like that in that final match, or like some type of cement match or something. I don't know, something different, some stip. But I mean, he's going up against guys that he has, you know, decent matches with, so that's what matters. And Filthy Tom's, you know, a fucking New Japan pro wrestler. So the fact that, you know, he's so young in his career, Shaw is, and he's facing, you know, again, like his third match was against Filthy Tom, so now it's another match against Filthy Tom. Like, fuck, that's wild, man. That shows that not only does management have like big aspirations for him, but he's living up to those aspirations, getting that match with Filthy Tom again, who wants to step in there again with him. So,
and I think the thing you can't forget about with Filthy Tom is, yeah, you mentioned like New Japan wrestler, also former UFC fighter. Like,
yes,
let's like call a spade, I think probably like most dangerous regular in AIW over the past 5 years, at least like I would say. I mean, he's potential being like the most dangerous, but I would at least say top five or three, and that's throwing in people like Broner. Like,
he's one of many guys I would not want to anger in this company. Let's just put it that way. Like, I would know way better to ever say anything to enrage him in person, you know.
Would he actually hear it, though? Well, if you said it on a podcast, I mean.
I don't know. Probably not. He probably don't give a fuck. But I don't know. Like, I feel like certain people better watch what they say about him during this match, because say the wrong thing, you might get a UFC fighter coming in. I don't know.
I mean, as long as they're not as bad as fucking Barkley's family. Because, I mean, that was... Actually, that's what I was expecting at Rager. Because here we are, Rager again with Filthy Tom versus, like, the guy that came out of the academy and has this, like, big fan base of family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, shit, like, there was almost a riot, like, twice. Because, was it the same show or different year? Or they did shit with Kingston. And then also, like, with Filthy Tom. Like, I remember both those incidents. I just can't remember if they were the same year or different year.
I remember the Filthy Tom Nick Gage one. I don't know if the Kingston one was the same year. I'm trying to remember if Kingston was at the one I was at. Because I think 4 was my first one. I think that might have been at 3.
Kingston might have been the one before that. Because the Kingston one, I think, was the one after he debuted. And then the Filthy Tom, I think, was the next year. Because they were the ones that threw beer at Filthy Tom. Like,
yeah.
Like full cans. And like I caught one, caught the top of it, but with it like facing down. And I think I gave it to Filthy. But I thought we were going to get that at WrestleRager, and we didn't. So we'll see what it's like at Akron for them.
They seem to be relatively be okay.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like,
I honestly don't think they would go that far. But personally, for my entertainment, I would like to see somebody try to Filthy Tom. I saw him knock somebody out in the UFC house, and I love that clip. And I'd like to see that in person. You know, that'd be kind of interesting. I personally don't want to be on the end of that punch, but somebody get punched like that, knocked out in front of me, that'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know. I'd be really entertained if it was you. Can you volunteer for that?
No, I will not do such a thing.
Think we can get Jared to do it?
I highly doubt it. They would probably kill Jared. Jared is a frail old man.
Get him like some, get him some Jaritol and get him a little walker with tennis balls at the bottom. He'll be good.
Talking about like half my family right now.
I was partially talking about Carl from Up, but second one, but so
unfortunately it's like half my dad's side of the family right now. Got canes and walkers and fortunate. Anyway,
speaking of canes and walkers, Porter O'Shea might be, no, I'm kidding.
Oh my.
Watching him troll Jake Clemens was kind of funny the other day, but anyway, who you got in this one?
I mean, it's a second match. I say Shaw gets the upset, some type of roll-up upset to lead to a third.
Yeah, it's something I'm thinking too. Give us another trilogy for Shaw Mason.
Just knowing that that booking style, that's what I kind of foresee. Well, that's cool. Whatever. That third batch, let's put up that cage. Let's do it.
Well, we know the cage won't be at Kent. Well, I should say, I don't think Filthy will be at Kent.
The bowling alley either, so... But we'll be back in Akron before that, so.
Yeah.
And it'll fit there.
I don't know if I'd want to see Sean Filthy in a cage. I feel like that deserves some different competitors. Nothing against either of them. I like either both of them.
The fight pit. Yeah. Get Pedro to mount some stuff on top of it, so it'll be like a pit. They can climb up there and fight on top and then fight down below. Yeah. Let's get to it, Pedro. Let's go.
Got some real bloodlust going on.
2023.
You know where a cage would fit? In Ashtabula. There's going to be no complaints about getting a cage in out there because there's no roof.
Only if you have a car battery up to it out there. Got to go electrified cage. Ultra Mantis versus Nightmare Freddy, electrified cage. Let's fucking make it happen. Joe Sposto on commentary. Hell yeah. Let's go.
I was just now thinking of like the shit that WCW, I think it was WCW did it like early 90s, that whole like electric chair thing.
Yeah, with Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus mm-hmm. Jack. Yeah, yeah, that was great. The fucking switch kept falling down. Well, they got him in it. Yeah, that's great.
Let's do Kaplan versus Pondo again. Because I feel like that's the equivalent of Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus Jack. I think you can easily figure out who's who. All right, let's move on to the next one. We got Brian Myers versus Wes Barkley. Kind of got a heads up that Brian Myers was going to be at this show and kind of figured this is the one that made the most sense.
Brian who?
Hey, Brian Myers is awesome. Say all you want about Cardona.
Professional wrestler, but
say anything, everything you want about Cardona. Like Brian Myers is like actually like cool dude.
Is that only because Myers did your podcast and Cardona won it?
No, like I like Cardona, but like having to deal with, I mean, Brian Myers was great. Listening to him on the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, like some of the stuff he says, it's like he'll make like movie references that are just fucking hilarious. And some of them go over fucking Cardona's head because he hasn't seen them.
I'm sure he's more personable. He seems like more down to earth than Cardona is. So,
oh yeah. And like, even like as a wrestler, like just look at like Brian Myers' career. Like, I feel like he'll put over anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he did have a losing streak that's legendary, so he'd put over anybody, including Wes Barkley.
I do believe he was 0-269, maybe. I can't read the figure from
the figure. The figure that you got signed. I'm sure it's on there, right?
It is on both of them, the regular and the chase. But there's kind of a glare from my one lamp. So I can't exactly see it. I want to say it's either 268 or 269. I can read the two and I can read the six. It's the nine that I'm having trouble with. But I mean, even that, some of the stuff he does, like on the independent scene, like some of the matches he's had in AIW, like he, you know, he lost to Bishop. He lost to, actually, I would have to look up his record in AIW. I don't know how many matches he's won. The only one I could think of off the top of my head, and it wasn't even a singles match, was the Major Wrestling Figure podcast versus Team AIW. Other than that, I can't think of many that he's won. I think he lost to Cliff Compton. I think he lost to J Pro.
No, Tim Donst.
When was that match? That's a Mount Carmel.
Yeah, Mount Carmel match. I'm looking at it's on the AIW Twitter or YouTube, excuse me.
But yeah, like I don't. Oh, he obviously even lost the. No, was he in that? No, I was about to put him in the match that Britt Baker came out to, but no, he could not make that booking.
He teamed with Swoggle against Weird World.
Oh yeah, that was Swoggle's AIW debut.
And he faced Tyson Dukes.
Oh, Tyson Dukes. Who won that one?
I don't know. It's literally all these are available.
Oh, you're,
so you can check that out. If you haven't and you want to check out a bunch of his matches, they are all available on there. Like every single one of them he's had is on there. So,
I mean, the real way to check is Cage Match.
Well, I'm on Cage Match, but I don't want to have to sort by like him and company, can I?
I think. Or you could at least go by his breakdown of every year and just click on all the AIW logos, because that'll show you all the matches he had in a year, in that particular year.
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helps like when you're trying to figure out stuff like this.
So he lost to Tyson Dukes. He lost a fatal four-way. He defeated Cliff Compton.
Oh, he defeated Cliff. I thought Cliff won, but Yeah, that was the...
He won with Swoggle against Big Mo and Little Guido. He won with Swoggle against Weird World. He lost to Billy Gunn in the J-Lit first round. He lost to Tim Donst at Don't Feed Us After Midnight.
He was supposed to have a match with Brian Carson before going back to WWE, but he had travel problems.
He lost in the 8-man tag in 2021. And then he lost against Rip City, against a major player. And he lost against Josh Bishop. So, yeah, he definitely has a losing record in AIW.
Especially since coming back to the independents.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like he had wins before, but, yeah, like, now it's been way less. So,
going back... Unfortunately, he was the guy that basically had to eat the pin for Cardona and a lot of that during that Rip City feud, so...
Yeah.
And I think he's eating the pin again, because I think Wes Barkley's going to beat him.
Yeah. That's kind of the way I'm going. But I think much like the Bishop match, like, he's going to make Wes look good.
Wes don't need him to make him look good. Wes just look good on his own.
But he's going to make him look even better because he's the most professional wrestler.
Who do you think? If he's the most professional wrestler, shouldn't there should be somebody that's like the most unprofessional wrestler?
Virgil. We talked about this before. I wanted to see Brian Myers versus Avery Good. So we can have the most professional wrestler versus a very good professional wrestler. But Mikey Blanton didn't want to book that. And Avery Good retired.
Way to go, Mikey. Way to go.
Yeah, way to go, fucking Mikey. That's why we didn't come to Black Label Pro this year. Actually, we just couldn't make it out. We were supposed to go to St. Louis Anarchy this year. We didn't.
Yeah, but I did go to Enjoy this year.
I didn't. So. I did not go to Enjoy this year, but I need to go because Veda is there a lot. Even though
that's dope.
Even though the cool thing now seems to be like everybody hates Veda, but I still like.
I just like the all the wrestlers that they get there that I don't get to see in Cleveland. I get to see in Pittsburgh, so works out for me.
If they could book the Outfielders, I'd be happy. I still want to go no matter what, but it just. I know with this last show that was the same day as a Browns game, I couldn't swing that. And there's other reasons I know I couldn't swing other shows, but eventually it'll open up and I'll be able to go.
Yeah.
And I really want to, I mean, ironically enough too, with, you know, wanting to see Veda again, cause it's been a while. I've never seen Speedball, like obviously cause he was banned from the United States for a number of years. So now that like that's all been fixed and everything, like, I really want to see him. He honestly seems like a really cool person. So,
yeah, him versus Lee Moriarty was really good.
Honestly, between those two, like, I expect nothing less because, like, that's kind of like what Lee does, and that's kind of what Speedballs does, at least lately for him. Brian Myers, Wes Barkley, we're going Wes Barkley?
Yeah, I'm going to go Wes Barkley.
Yeah. Watch, we're wrong, and this is, like, the crazy win that Brian Myers hasn't been able to get. And it's this one where we're both like, nah, like, he hasn't even won since coming back.
I plan on being wrong with every pick that I make just because, like, there's very few that I'm very in. So I plan on being wrong with everything because for some reason, whatever I want to happen is it's usually the opposite that happens with AIW. So it's the abuse that I've come to know.
You know, one thing I want to throw out here in the episode, I probably should have threw it out earlier, but the Wrestling Cheers End of the Year Awards nominations have been opened. I understand that, like, you know, Moment of the Year and Match of the Year, there could be something from this show that pops up on there, but in order to get everything done in a timely manner, next week's show is going to be the review, and then the week after that will have to be the award show and, like, preview show for 2023. So the timetable for that is next, or this coming Sunday, the 1st, some point during the day, I will turn off nominations and then I'll have to go through all the nominations and pick, I have to go through them, sort them out and figure out the top four nominations. It's a little bit harder with the nominations only because, like, let's say for example, people pick, you know, Wrestler of the Year, Josh Bishop. Well, someone might write Josh Bishop, another person to write Joshua Bishop, someone else who's already voted wrote The Intense Icon. Well, that's three votes for one person, but when I look at it, it's going to tell me like that's three different people. So I have to like sit there and go through and, you know, tally all the votes up and sort everything out. Top four, like I said.
Way to go, Mike. Way to go. We know who that is.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that I don't know who. Well, technically, I can divide them up by person and also just by answers. I think I know who you picked for debut of the year. You weren't the only.
I don't know if that counts, but I thought it counted. So
no, it counts. I'm pretty sure I know who you voted for. And did they debut in AAW this year? Then it counts. Yes. Like it's not just students. It's like,
well, I don't know if it was like just students or what, because like I feel like it's almost a shoo-in who's probably going to get it. But I thought this person had a better, more fun debut the last couple months, personally.
I say the difference from a regular wrestler, like I'm not going to out you on your vote or your nomination, and
I can say it right here if that's okay.
Sure.
It's Alec Price. I picked Alec Price.
Oh, I thought you picked Sam. No, I'm kidding. It's not just like people like him or like people like Sam Holloway or Shawn Mason, like that were students. It's the whole idea. Like, did you debut in AAW this year? Then it counts. Like the only ones it doesn't count for, at least in my opinion, is like, oh, this was the debut in AAW for Minoru Suzuki. Doesn't count.
Right. Well, that's what I thought. Like maybe people will try to say that. And I'm like, he only wrestled one match. I don't think that counts.
I think you should wrestle more than one match or, you should be like active on the independents. Like there's a reason why we've only seen you once, but like there's a potential of seeing you again. People like Minoru Suzuki. No, people like what other people have like came in that were guest.
Gargano, but he didn't wrestle.
Yeah. I mean, he goes for like most of those go for guests of the year because like Gargano was a guest. Britt was a guest. Minoru Suzuki was a guest, so that's kind of where I lie with that.
Shit, I don't remember who I put for guest of the year.
I can look it up. I mean, I know who I picked, but I was testing it out, and I think I deleted mine because I kept trying to.
That's why I needed a list because I couldn't fucking remember everybody that's been in the company this year. That was, I think I picked Bandido. I think maybe.
Well, a benefit. For this year, I have changed it to you have to have a Google account and your answer are logged in that way. And I think you can go back and change them.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Like, I think he was my, I don't know.
And
I really didn't have anybody that I really cared about. I couldn't be there for the Minoru's. Gargano won, Eddie won. Yeah, they're just kind of whatever. I don't know.
Anyway. But you have to have a Gmail account to vote, but your vote will not show me your Gmail. It just kind of verifies your vote. My whole thing is the thing that I didn't like about last year is there were a lot of like weird accounts, quote unquote, because I had you put either your name or your Twitter handle and like, oh, Miles Garrett voted for Derek. And it's like, all right, I know real Miles Garrett isn't voting in this shit. Like, I want like some way to have legitimate votes. I did have it to where I could have had it to where you actually put in an email address and have to be logged in, but I was like, nah, I don't want to go that far. Just like you have to be logged into a Gmail account. Like, there's some loopholes there, but I'm not going to get into them. But yeah, I think just trying to make it.
Needs to be cheating this year. I think he'll handily win what he wants to win, so it'll be all right. Anyway,
we'll see. Anyway, so yeah, we both picked Wes. Let's move on to the next one. Well, it's not Charlie Butters, but he is a bad boy. Joey Janela versus Matthew Justice with Fonzie. I will say I'm kind of upset we didn't get to see this at the Odeon.
Yeah, I feel like this would have been a very different match at the Odeon to what it's going to be at Tadmore.
Can't go bleeding all over all the Shriners.
No, but you also think about it, like we got this match, we got Kaplan and Derek, and it's like, man, they're just There's just some wild brawls that are just going to happen at this show. There's going to be a lot of danger for the crowd. I'm going to go with Joey Janela. Why not? Maybe this is the start of his comeback run in AIW.
Oh, we don't want to talk about this match. You're just going to pick it out the gate.
I have, dude, there's, what can you say? Violence, yeah. Mayhem, whatever, like, things you would say about the Devil's Rejects, you just put that in here. That's what works.
Just, yeah, I kind of didn't. I didn't have anything really planned for talking points on this one.
Yeah.
And it was, ironically, I was kind of thinking, like, man, there's really nothing to say. We can probably just, like, pick this and move on. But you fucking just went and did it. So, yeah. Well,
yeah, because the only thing that needs to be said is violence. That's it.
Yeah, especially like that first announcement for this show when it was Joey Janela with that fucking spike through his cheeks. Oh, god damn. Like, that makes me kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Joey Janela guy, but him and Justice going together, there's going to be some unprotected chair shots, and it's going to be gross. It's going to be real gross. Real, real gross. That's all I know.
Going to make some
holding my head and going, no.
Make some Shriners really uncomfortable one way or another.
For sure.
Who do you got in this one?
I'm going to go Joey Janela.
I'm going to go Justice. I think it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Like, in my head there, I was like giving myself reason to pick either of them. Kind of like what you said of, like, you know, this could be like the comeback win for Joey Janela. But yeah, I'm going to go Matt Justice on this one. Just be a little different. All right, let's move on to the next one. Money Shot versus Bang Bros. Could just end there, but no, versus Members Only versus TME.
Oh, this is tough.
You know, normally, like, there's, like, just one Money Shot on each Bang Bro, but...
Wow.
See, this is where I miss Marcy because...
She would run with this. That's her go-to. Yeah.
Well, because the show that we reviewed, the show that they were both on, and there's a lot of things we had to say.
She brought up hypno porn in one of our discords that she's in, and got Dalton put on a list because he tried to look it up on Pornhub, and she's into some vile shit. No shame. She got no shame. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. I love this match because it's like you do have those two that mentioned who haven't had many matches in AIW, kind of like both debuted in AIW last year. When did Zach Nystrom debut in AIW? But that was 2021.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. But Money Shot as a whole, that was definitely this year. Bang Bros this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Both that, well, the show that we just mentioned, but at the Winchester versus Members Only, you know, one of the top up and coming tag teams within AIW of, like, you know, students, like, they've really caught on from day one and are, you know, somewhat fan favorites. And then, you know, you got fucking TME, which, you know, hands down, one of my favorite tag teams in AIW in independent wrestling, should be signed to a contract. They got the look, they got the size, they got so much shit. And I said it on Twitter, I think a week or so ago, that, you know, best theme in independent wrestling, TME. That's just me.
So Members Only is definitely a AIW tag team, in my opinion. And then you got, you know, the two newcomer tag teams. I know Bang Bros have been doing a lot of stuff with, like, Black Label and out in the Midwest. And Money Shots from, like, Pittsburgh, and they do stuff with IWC. So you also have TME who's coming out of Pittsburgh. So you're getting, like, two Midwest teams. You're getting two teams from Pittsburgh. So this is just going to be like a wild, just a wild match. Like, I literally seen clips of the four way that took place in Pittsburgh, including TME, the production, Bitcoin, and another team that's escaping me right now, and it just was insane. And I feel like that same energy is going to apply here. I feel like TME being the biggest guys in this four-way are just going to manhandle a lot of the Bang Bros and Members Only. But like, I don't know, man. This is really, I think, could be a show stealer for me. This match could really easily top the matches for me, depending on how it plays out. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say dark horse match of the night. Some of the reasons you mentioned, and you know, Bang Bros has been a team that, you know, has been really looking to make a name for themselves in AIW. I don't feel like they've done it. Like, if they weren't named Bang Bros, I don't know if I would be paying as much attention to them, just because like the name catches me, because I obviously get their reference. But I think there's potential of them, you know, being one of those tag teams that we see in AIW regularly. And, you know, we've said it before, like, you know, the tag team division is a very stacked division, and adding a new team, like, I'm fine with it. Like, there's plenty of competition to go around. It's one of those things we could see, like just a tag team show, AIW. And I think, you know, something similar to Double Dare, but not saying like a tournament or anything, but just like, there's just so many tag teams. You could easily throw together a card with all of them and be entertained. Who do you got in this one?
This is tough. I'm going to go members only.
It is tough.
That's between them and TME for me. So
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Money Shot. I think this is going to be, you know, their statement match. You know, last time we seen them in AIW was against members only at WrestleRager. And if I'm correct, they lost. I could be wrong. I'd have to look that up. But I'm sure they did. And I think this would be a huge win for them, because it's not just, you know, getting a win back from members only. It's beating three other teams, two not counting members only. I think this could be a really big moment for them. Let's move on to the next one. Something that's been in the works for a few shows. Got PME versus Euthanasia. I love seeing Euthanasia together, to be honest. And in a way, this is like new AIW versus old AIW.
One second before we move on with that. What were you saying about Money Shot at WrestleRager?
Did they lose or win?
They beat members only.
Okay, they beat members only. Okay, then I was wrong. Thank you for looking that up.
Mm-hmm.
Still going with Money Shot. My reasoning changes. It's not to get a win back from like members only. It's to like, it's set a statement. I think they have the potential of being at the top of the tag division by the end of next year. And I think you start that by getting the win here. And we talk about how stacked the tag team division is. We got PME and Euthanasia. Not even just new AIW versus old AIW. This is new Cleveland Wrestling versus old Cleveland Wrestling.
This is kind of a continuation of a story they've been trying to tell us the last couple months, something quieting down with other feuds. This has been kind of brewing. This will be the first time they've actually clashed. As PME keeps, you know, ducking them, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they duck out of this again. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's gonna happen here.
I can't say enough good things about PME as bad guys. I think they pulled off way better than we thought they were going to.
They're bad guys? What?
Like, Philly looks so sleazy. And not in a someone who sucks on suckers type of way.
He's the type of guy that would show you his butthole.
He would. He would definitely do it.
Yeah.
I believe we had that conversation with him and he confirmed.
We did have that. We definitely did have that conversation for sure. After the last Akron show, believe it or not.
Think he'll show his butthole in this match?
No, I don't think he will.
Why not? Show it to the Shriners.
I don't think he needs to show his butthole in this match. This was more so, you know, something he might do later after the show. I don't think he needs to do it during the match, though. Unless he wants to, like, distract Matt Cross or something.
Distract Porter O'Shea.
Or Tom Dunn.
Hey, Tom Dunn, look at my butthole.
Tom would be standing in the corner smoking a cigarette like, what the fuck?
God, now I'm going to get texts about this too. Anyway, I'm only looking forward to this. The match, not Philly's butthole.
No, that's not what I was laughing at. It's, it's all right.
Just needing to clear the air there. I got to go euthanasia.
I'm going to go PME.
I go euthanasia only because I don't think this is it. So it'll make sense like euthanasia wins, but yeah, PME is not done. All right, let's move on to the next match. Intense title match. Derek Dillinger versus Kaplan. Kind of a rematch of Bill Alfonso finals.
Yeah, the hardcore tournament finals. They also were involved in that crazy triple threat in November at Hell on Earth, which was match of the night for Hell on Earth. I think that this is going to be a test for Derek, a bigger test than a lot of his defenses previously. I hope he and Ziggy have a plan and they can pull it off and win. That's all I got to say about that.
I think Kaplan would show his butthole.
No, I don't think he would.
Yeah, this will be a fucking crazy one, but I mean that I expect nothing more from Derek, let alone fucking Kaplan too. Is this where Derek loses the title though?
It would be very ironic that I want two title changes. This would be the one that would change hands. So, I guess it's possible, but I really hope it doesn't.
I'm thinking not yet, but I mean, if there was going to be somebody to beat Derek, I feel like Kaplan could do it. Like that's a believable win.
Yeah.
But I'm going Derek.
Yep. Me too.
Going to get any more jerky from Kaplan?
Oh, for sure. You got to get jerky every time you see Kaplan. And first thing you do, as soon as he walks in with the bag, you get two baggies of it. PayPal him $16 and you got jerky for the night, which is the best way to watch wrestling.
All right, let's move on to the next one. AIW tag team title match, Bulking Season versus Bitcoin Boys. And I love the promos that have been put out to really hype this up. I think it needs to be said that this match, on top of just like some of the ones we've seen throughout the year from both Bulking Season and Bitcoin, have been some of the best promos I have ever seen from AIW, from people from AIW, because I feel like the last person that put in this much effort was Magnum CK, and he hands down has always had some of the best promos.
Well, I think a thing with that too is you got to remember is that these four guys train together, so they were around each other a ton training, and that that bond that I think that from the people that you train with is always something that probably would stick around. So they're always going to have that mentality of trying to one up each other. And then they've always done promos together. Like I remember they did one for, I think it was the WrestleRager 5 that they were going to face each other. And they did like a whole series of videos and stuff. So like they've always had that thing where like they work well together, especially like outside of the ring, doing promo stuff together and working on building, making their match mean something. So that's definitely a huge positive to give you some like reason to get into this match, which is just smart. Personally, I think that, this is put up or shut up for the Bitcoin Boys. They've talked a lot of trash about not getting their tag title match, being the uncrowned champs. So here you go. Get this match. You either win or lose, is put up or shut up. So I'm hoping that they prove that they're good enough and they win the belts. And they can ring in the new year with tag title.
I see things that can happen either way, whether Bulking Season wins or Bitcoin Boys win. And I honestly like both results. But I think if I'm picking, I'm going to go Bulking Season retains. And you're going with Bitcoin Boys winning.
Yes, sir.
I think we'll definitely be talking about some things that happen after this match one way or another. Because kind of like what you were saying with Bitcoin Boys is put up or shut up. And whether they win or lose, there's going to be consequences. Obviously, if they win, I won't call.
Are you the Duke with this?
I mean, I would see that if they lose, like, Duke's going to be pissed.
It'll be Duke's fault if they lose. He's their insurance policy to make sure they win. So be on him.
But I don't know. The Duke isn't someone you can trust. Just ask Mance Warner. But yeah, Bitcoin boys come out champions. I'm happy. Bitcoin boys lose and some things happen afterwards. Depending on what things, I'll be happy. All right, rolling left with one more. So let's get to the main event. Joshua Bishop versus Isaiah Broner for the AIW absolute title. Before this was announced, I had noticed Broner was on the flyer and he didn't have a match announced. Bishop was also on the flyer, obviously being the champion. No match announced. I'm like, either they both got separate opponents or this is the match and we fucking got it. So I feel like 2022 has really built up to this. So if we're ending the year with one match, which you got to, you know, figure this is going to be it. Let it be this one. Because I think you could easily debate which one of these had a better 2022 of, you know, wrestler of the year for AEW. Two people that I think I'm hoping are in the running. But we'll see how that goes.
This is the Irresistible Force meets the Immovable Object, man. Right here. It's AIW's version of it. This is huge. They've been, you know, they've met once, briefly, in a match, but they've never officially had a one-on-one, and here we go.
I honestly thought we weren't going to get this match till next year at some point.
So did I. I was really surprised that it got added to this card. But hey, you know, let's do it. Let's see what we got, man. This ups the notch of this card even more. Like, in my opinion, this is huge.
Who do you got?
I'm gonna go with Isaiah Broner, and then we're gonna be drinking Hennessy after the match.
I'm gonna go Bishop. But I don't think it's going to be any fault of Broner. I think someone's going to cheat him out of it. Because there's no way I could see Bishop beat him. Like, I don't want to say fair and square, but like I can't see Broner losing regularly. I mean, would it be a moment to see Broner fucking, you know, finally win the title after only being in the AIW for like a year and a half?
I mean, it's a way to close out the year for sure.
Oh, hands down. Like, you know, this was a guy that earlier in the year got Minoru Suzuki, got Eddie Kingston, had smaller matches there, but
knocked PB Smooth out of AIW.
Poor PB.
Yep. Sent to the Shadow Realm.
Oh, that's
now he's wrestling places with a lampshade on his head because he's ashamed of what happened.
And that's who cost Isaiah Broner the match.
And the crowd goes mild.
Oh, no, you're not telling me there wouldn't be a reaction of people pissed that Broner lost, got cheated out of it?
Yeah, people would be pissed, but I'd also be like, I don't want to see that match again. It was just okay before. Now, if, you know, some big name comes and costs, then sure, I'd want to see that match. I have no specific name in mind.
I was about to say, like, what big name were you thinking that would...
No specific one in mind. Just anybody. Like, I like PB to an extent, but I don't think that would fit for him. I think there'd be a lot of other people. Like, maybe Cardona. I don't know. I'd be okay with that because I already hate him. So then I get to see him get his head knocked off like I wanted at Hell on Earth. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I know it won't be Cardona. At least I don't think so.
You never know. Maybe a mystery man costs some people some matches, reveals himself at the end of the show, setting up a triple threat for another show down the road. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Mr. Brickster?
Haven't thought about that guy in a long time.
I think about him because I still follow him on like certain social media and like our friends on Facebook, but it doesn't.
No, man. Maybe the Swamp Monster shows up.
Only if. I don't know if Swamp Monster and Bishop are friends.
I don't know. I can't talk about Swamp Monster bed, and it's past my bedtime. So,
all right, that's the show. Any final thoughts or last minute plugs before we go?
Yeah, check out the Indie Wrestling Guy. We got new episodes coming out all in January. There's a voicemail line you can call into. They're going to be doing some interviews with some of the fresh meat, young talent from AIW, I think, coming up. Maybe doing some other shows, show reviews, that kind of thing. Maybe Young Ed from Pod Van Dam will show up. He, as he has mentioned, he will probably do for his weird indie wrestling that he likes to watch from Japan. You can also check out If You Catch My Grift. I think our most recent episode was on Alex Jones. There's some exclusive Patreon content up at patreon.com/ and there's going to be a bunch more coming. I know there's going to be an episode on Firefest next year. Kanye West. Who else? A couple other really interesting ones. So, yeah, if you like true crime, check that out. That's all I got. My Twitter is Charlie_Butters. But you can send all your hate to Justin or the Wrestling Cheers Twitter. Don't send it to me.
Actually, I figured you could send all it to at Ref Jayhawk.
Or, you know, if you're more comfortable with it, send it to take the heat for the things I say pretty well. So,
and of course, you can find myself at jsummers330 on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Hive. Just like you can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose to desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. And like I said earlier in this show, please rate, review, and subscribe your ever-listen-this fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. And all of those links can be found through the Linktree link in the podcast notes. Check out our podcast friends, such as Pod Van Dam, Super Fantastic Podcast, It's Evolution Baby, The IndieCast, So Bros Network, Biff Radio, GameWorks Podcast, Power Bob Jitsu, Power Driver Podcast, Fully Opposable, Positively Pro Wrestling, Indie Wrestling Guide, If You Catch My Grift, At Odds With Wrestling, Marks With Mics, Juggalo Rewind, X Over, This Ends At Prom, and Porch Talk. And check out our other non-podcasting friends, such as The Mystery Men, Redline Radio, Mouse's Wrestling Adventures, VHS Party Tonight on Instagram, Danger Zone Video in Joliet, Tennessee, Heart of Gold, Toy Hio Toy Show, Time Capsule Toys, Smoke and Jay's Barbecue, JCP Designs, Midwest Territory, Southern Underground Pro, and the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs. That will do it for us here on Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And we'll see you next year. Later.
It's the Wrestling Cheers. Get up on your feet, brightening in your day in the middle of the week. And you gotta love the show. Yeah, you know it holds a title for the best podcast talking wrestling in Ohio. Finishing a cold one, take a load off. We ain't all about the prohibition like Josh, so we cheers. And then we sit back, other shows are in the trash, kinda like they Nick Stapp. Like the name is Matt Justice, wearing all the gold. Wrestling Cheers is coming to a close. The number one podcast going in the game. And one day everybody's gonna know the name. It's the Wrestling Cheers. This is Platinum Max, signing off. Ohio, good night. The world, good night. We love you, we'll see you next week.